Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to go ahead and call to order this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, today is Tuesday, May 8th, 2007, and members present here in the Belts Room are Senators Bundy, Davis, Ellis, and Stevens. So thank you all for being with us. It's that time of year. We have lots of bills before us today and on Thursday. And the game plan for today is this order of business. First, House Bill 155, extending the ABC board by Representative Olson, or Ms. Wolf is here today to present the bill. Then we will be taking House Bill 205, Real Estate Brokers and Salespersons, also by Representative Olson. I believe those may be committee bills, but we'll have either Representative Olson or his representative. Third will be House Bill 228, Workers' Comp Medical Treatment Fees, followed by Senate Bill 165, Tourism Disclosures and Notices. So if committee members will take up their packet for the first bill, House Bill 155. Ms. Wolf, if you could join us, good afternoon. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon.
Pleasure to see you again. For the record, my name is Eleanor Wolf. I'm staff to Representative Kurt Olson, who is chair of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. House Bill 155. This is the extension of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. We were asked by the board to introduce the extension. There apparently are some other difficulties involved in the audit that I was assured by the department would be taken up in separate legislation, because we don't like to have our extensions gummed up with other statutes. This one was originally scheduled for 2013, I believe. And because of some of the difficulties within the audit, the Finance Committee shortened it to 2010. And based on that, I would like to see this board continue, but we do hope that at some point the department's going to introduce the legislation they said they would to take care of the other problems.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Wolf. Are there questions or comments from the committee? If not, thank you very much. We have Pat Davidson, the legislative auditor, with us today to answer questions. But Ms. Davidson, could you go ahead and join us at the table? And if you could just comment on the legislation and the audit that was done and the recommendation, and just take us through those issues, if you would, please.
Certainly. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. In accordance with statute, we do conduct sunset reviews of boards and commissions that are sunsetting. The recommendation of the audit was for continuation of the board to the year 2013. The standard recommendation for extension is an 8-year. We recommended a 6-year because of some of the difficulties we saw. Less with the operations of the board itself and more with administrative concerns that we had identified. There are a number of recommendations in the report. One of them has to do with a lack of an overall strategy for accomplishing its enforcement goals. The board is responsible for compliance checks of businesses that serve alcohol, and therefore their investigative staff do compliance checks and other enforcement activities. We have seen that the number of inspections did increase. However, the distribution of those inspections still is an area for improvement. For example, if you're a business in Fairbanks or Juneau, you have a 100% chance of being inspected over a 4-year period. However, if your business is in Kenai, then you have a 38% chance of an inspection over that same time period. The board needed to improve notifications of its meetings and activities to provide for better public participation. There's a number of administrative aspects to the board that definitely need improvement. A couple of the areas that Ms. Wolf referred to is one of our recommendations was that the ABC board director, currently he is allowed to make a tie-breaking vote of the board, and our concern is that basically he is then acting as a public member However, he has never been screened to determine whether he meets qualifications of a public member. And being the executive director, he is privy to more information than the board members are in coming up with the recommendation to the board. Mm-hmm. And we thought that there's alternative ways to get a tie-breaking vote than bringing in the executive director. Mm-hmm. A minor issue, more probably for of interest to the Finance Committees than Labor and Commerce, is that we looked at the general wholesale license fees, and what we found was that these fees haven't changed since 1980, and they're based on sales volume. Well, what happened is the increase in sales volume has turned what was a progressive tax structure into a regressive tax structure. And we just brought that to the legislature's attention in case there's a change there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ms. Davidson, thank you very much. How would you characterize the response from the ABC board to the recommendations of the audit?
I would say that they were supportive of the recommendations. They are looking ways to change. We also asked the Department of Public Safety, to which the board is administratively associated, to make comments. And it was the prior administration. However, they were also supportive of the changes and stood willing to help the board in any way it could mm-hmm. to accomplish some of those changes.
Do you get the impression that we'll see legislation from the executive branch to address these issues in the future?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any basis for any opinion there.
Okay. Other questions or comments? If not, Ms. Davidson, thank you for your usual good work and presentation. We appreciate it. We have several folks who signed up to testify, so we need to move forward with that. I'll first call on Mr. Dale Fox in Anchorage. If you could state your full name and affiliation for the record, please, and go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can, Mr. Fox. We're pressed for time, and please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Dale Fox, President and CEO of Alaska Char. We represent the hotels, restaurants, and bars and package stores around the state. Alaska Char supports a strong ABC board as an important organization for the alcohol industry. Beverage licensees, however, around the state are dismayed with ABC's administration and anti-business approach. Many of my members were not aware of this committee meeting today because of the short notice given, or there would have been dozens of them out here. Char has been working both internally and externally with ABC to try to correct some of the significant challenges that are faced there, and we would encourage, rather than a six-year extension of the ABC, a one-year extension of the ABC, so that if the administration is not improved in the intervening year, that we would have an opportunity to come back to the legislature and ask for remedies. I'll stop there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fox, thank you for being with us today. Comments or questions from the committee? Senator Bundy?
I'm interested in some specific examples of your organization's concerns.
Through the chair to Mr. Bundy, Representative Bundy, there are a tremendous number of them. Everything from the lack of timeliness of response to the garbled response in terms of what the rules are and how they're being reinterpreted frequently. Let me give you one example of that. If you read the legislation or the statutes on TAM cards and then go to Title IV and read the administrative issues, and then how the ABC board is currently interpreting those, you end up with three or four or even five different interpretations. Let me expand on that a bit. It's clear that everybody needs a TAM card who is serving alcohol. Then the question becomes, who else needs a TAM card? In the previous years, it had been the supervisor of people serving alcohol also need a TAM card. Then the board and the administration came out with interpretations that said it's any stockholder. And then when we pointed out, well, geez, does all Siri stockholders have to have a TAM card because they have a liquor license? And then they said, well, maybe not. I mean, And so it's so garbled right now. I can tell you as a CHAR representative who tries to answer questions for my members on dozens and dozens of issues, we can't tell them what the official position is, because on TAM cards alone, we've got three different written opinions from the ABC board telling us three different things, and the statute says a third. Second example would be enforcement issues. We're seeing enforcement issues that are ludicrous at best. You know, the statute says that, and I'll use another TAM card example, that you have to have your TAM card on you or that you need a copy. Well, that seems clear to me, but the ABC board and its enforcers have now said that, well, if you have a copy, that just means you can finish the shift. You still get a ticket. And then they've gone so far as to come up with examples of, they walk into to an establishment to do an inspection, and they will say, let me see your TAM card. And the bartender will go to their purse to get their TAM card and or go to their coat to pull out their wallet to get the TAM card, and they're being told, you know, the rule says you have to have that on your person. And we think that the enforcement is ridiculous. The administration, you can't get a license in any sort of reasonable time, that it is punitive from top to bottom. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to work with the ABC board members. We're trying to get some changes both internally. We'd also like to be able to come back to the legislature to get some changes from you if it comes to that. And for that reason, we'd like to see a one-year extension. So the issues that were brought up by the administration in terms of the administration of the ABC can be looked at closer. Some of our concerns can be looked at closer, and that we have another opportunity to take a look at this issue. So that's the reason for our one-year position on the ABC board.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. We're going to hear now from Andy Lundquist in Kodiak, and then we're going to have Doug Griffin from the ABC board available for questions. The issue before us in this bill is whether we should extend the existence of the ABC board and for what period of time. There was a period of time recommended by the auditor, and that was shortened, a shorter leash from the House, the Finance Committee, and the other body. But that's really what's before us today. And we have three other bills that need our attention today. So, Mr. Lundquist, please go ahead quickly, and then we'll have time to chat with Mr. Griffin.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Andy Lundquist. I'm from Kodiak. I'm treasurer of Kodiak Char, a 25-year operator of a bar and package store in Kodiak. I'm here to also support the ABC board. I think it's professionally run. I like the commission, the fact that various member interests, industry interests, and et cetera, are reflected on the board. I'm in agreement with Dale Fox that there are a few issues that could be improved on. I've listened to the LIO audit, and I've listened to some of the issues they've raised. I think for those reasons, I too would like to see this sunset renewal occur for just a year, and that we take a look at it at that time. I know your plates are full with a lot of other issues, and this probably doesn't seem like a huge one, but I would request that you please only extend this for 1 year. Thank you.
Mr. Lundquist, thank you for being with us today. Mr. Griffin? Are you there, Mr. Griffin?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Do you have any comments, brief comments, based on the testimony or the presentation of the bill? And then I'll see if the committee members have any questions for you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Doug Griffin. I'm the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. I'll try to be very brief and just leave it open for questions. We appreciate the comments and the recommendations made by the Division of Legislative Audit, and we are on the way to responding to them. I think if you would look at the audit from the prior time that we did an audit, that we did implement in part, if not in whole, all of the recommendations that were made, the findings that were made in the prior audit. We certainly use this oversight from the legislature through its Division of Legislative Audit as a useful tool to try to seek ways to improve. We've implemented many of those recommendations already. We're in the process of refining our database and segregating it from our oversight to address some other internal control issues that were raised by the audit. We seek to do as good a job as we can given the resources that we do have. On the matter of no longer having me being the tie-breaking vote, I concur with that. I think the audit raises some good points about that. My understanding is that there were some statutory changes that were being contemplated by the Palin administration, and I think just other priorities have perhaps taken their attention, and I do suspect that there will be something introduced to address that issue and perhaps some other issues that the governor may have taken from her transition team and from the audit. Basically, I just in response to Mr. Fox, the part of the issue with implementation and enforcement of the alcoholic beverage laws in Alaska are that they're not done solely by ABC investigators. In fact, we only have four investigators for the entire state of Alaska. We have a trooper assigned to us under a grant to do compliance checks. Aside from that meager enforcement staff, we really rely on municipal police departments and Alaska state troopers in some instances to implement these. So I think some of these issues that were raised by Mr. Fox regarding enforcement and the way it is a challenge to try to make sure that the laws are understood by these different law enforcement agencies and that they are applied in a thoughtful manner. And so I think some of the issues that he raised that were attributed to enforcement actions that were taken were done by law enforcement people that we really have no direct control over. We do see ourselves in sometimes as a buffer zone, a bumper between law enforcement and our licensees, and we certainly do strive to have the most uniform enforcement we can have, but that's not always easy, given the fact that if you read the letter of the law, it talks, you can do some hair splitting if you wish to. We try to be very fair in our implementation with regard to the oversight that we provide and the enforcement we provide by ABC investigators. I guess the only other issue that was raised was I think with regard to the extension. Of course, we would prefer the 6-year extension, I believe, I do think we need additional time to implement some of the recommendations that were made by legislative audit, and to just give us a 1-year extension, I think, not only puts more pressure on legislative audit to have to come back in here and do another sunset review, but it really is not in keeping with us. I mean, I think if there's some issues that CHAR has, they need to do that through separate legislation and not use the vehicle of extending us and how long you extend us as a weapon to try to address these issues. I mean, I think some of their issues are they don't like the fact that we're in the Department of Public Safety. And having been moved to the Department of Public Safety, we have increased our enforcement profile. That's only goes without saying. And I think if you were to look at the audit from the Division of Legislative Audit, they think that that was a pretty good move. That in fact that we are providing greater oversight of the alcohol industry, and that is, at the end of the day, a good thing, and an improvement over perhaps a less than forceful enforcement regimen that we had prior to being moved to the Department of Public Safety.
Okay.
So with that, I'll just conclude my comments. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. I appreciate your comment that it's likely that there could be a executive branch proposal next year, or legislative proposals where we can continue this discussion with Mr. Fox and others. And I'm glad you brought us back to the issue at hand. Let's take it as a given that we're going to extend the ABC board in the state of Alaska. The question is the original 6 years. The version before us is from the Finance Committee of the other body at 3 years. Two witnesses suggested a one-year extension just to get the discussion going here for the committee. I'm comfortable with the 3 years that's proposed in the version before us. 1 year would seem too short and trigger extra work and concern. The 6 years was tightened up to three. There's an element of pressure there and focus for us to work together on these issues. So I open it up for any discussion from other members on the extension time period. Senator Bundy.
I concur that 1 year would keep them in a sunset mode, and I don't think you create innovations when you're in sunset. You're busy trying to shut down. So when you're ready for a motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Senator Stevens.
I agree, Mr. Chairman, that 3 years is probably a better compromise, and certainly support that.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the folks who've testified today, the work of the auditors and the House Labor and Commerce Committee. So if there's no further discussion, Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move that we move Senate Bill from 155, the extension.
House Bill.
House Bill, with individual recommendations.
Okay. The bill goes on to the Finance Committee. Is there any discussion of the motion?
I would just make the comment that I was encouraged when Mr. Griffin said that these inconsistencies in interpretation law are very likely coming from other enforcement personnel. With just four investigators, I would hope that they would be able to have a consistent interpretation of the law, and it appears that's the case.
Okay. Any further discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? If not, so ordered. Thank you all very much. The bill moves on to the Finance Committee. The next order of business is House Bill 205, Real Estate Brokers and Persons. Ms. Wolf, you could join us again. Please go right ahead with your presentation.
Once again, Mr. Chairman, my name's Eleanor Wolf. I'm aide to Representative Kurt Olson. We introduced House Bill 205 at the request of the Association of Realtors. They wanted some changes within their statutes. And specifically, Section 1 will increase the hours of education for a licensed applicant from 20 to 40 hours. Section 2 increases continuing education hours from 20 to 30 hours. The realtors prefer to increase the hours rather than scrimp on the education content. Section 3 adds a provision that 7 years must elapse before anyone convicted of a felony involving moral turpitude, I love that word, may reapply for licensure. The statute was already contained within, all that information was in statute except the addition of the 7 years elapsing. Section 4 adds language that allows a broker to live outside the state if they do not employ any licensees or their licensees are directly supervised by an associate broker. Section 5 provides that a broker owns, operates, or is employed by multiple corporations requiring real estate licensing have a single physical address for all principal offices. This is an issue of broker supervision. Apparently, there were a number of offices where one person owned three or four different real estate offices and was never appearing in any of them. Therefore, the broker was not there to oversee. Section 6 states that all policies and procedures be available to the public and outlines what must be in the policy. Section 7 is a February 1st, 2008 effective date. This coincides, I believe, with the issuance of the renewal licenses.
Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. Any questions from the committee at this point?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
Just a question of that moral turpitude has always bothered me as well. And it was I remember part of the university's rules. But on page 3, it talks actually any felony, not just a matter of moral turpitude. Are there other areas that indicate only a felony involving moral turpitude?
There have been in statute some time that you cannot be under indictment for forgery, theft, extortion, conspiracy to defraud creditors, or any other felony involving moral turpitude, or convicted of such offense. And they have added 7 years of elapsed, because all that other language was already in statute.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. What I'm getting at is I believe the bill doesn't quite say what the sponsor statement says. The sponsor statement says a felony involving moral turpitude. The bill just says a felony. Am I wrong?
Oh, which version have I got here? I probably got the one that wasn't.
And what we could do is, Ms. Wolf, why don't you go ahead and look that up? We can move on with some testimony and come back. There's only one person to testify, and we can come back when we have an answer for you. Is that okay, Senator Stevens?
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Dave Feakin, are you there?
I am, Senator Olson.
Okay, please give your name and affiliation for the record and go ahead as quickly as you can.
My name is Dave Feakin. I'm associated with the Alaska Association of Realtors, and I'm here to represent the 1,600 members of that association. House Bill 205 is a modernization of the existing statutes relating to real estate brokerage, addressing the issues of education of real estate licensees and supervision of those licensees. Sections 1, 4, 5, and 6 clarify the issue of licenses to persons convicted of felonies and those convicted of felonies while licensed. Section 2, under the current law, requires 20 hours of pre-licensing education, is a 20-year-old statute. The Real Estate Commission has continued to increase the required course material for pre-licensing education, but the number of hours has not increased. This bill increases the required hours from 20 to 40 hours of education before taking the licensing exam. At 20 hours, Alaska is the lowest in the country. At 40 hours, Alaska is still the lowest in the country. Additionally, the required topics of post-licensing education needs an increase from 20 to 30 hours in post-licensing education to adequately teach the required course material. The Association of Realtors supports this increase in hours rather than a reduction in course content to adequately protect the public and to provide competent real estate practitioners. Section 8, the statute requires a broker be responsible and supervise the actions of their licensees. Until the Alaska Supreme Court ruled in the 80s that the broker is not responsible for conduct that they had no knowledge of, this makes it the duty of the licensee to inform the broker, make them aware of issues needing supervision. And as Eleanor stated, the effective date would be February 1st to comply with the renewal of all licensees. And that concludes the testimony. If you have any questions, I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, Mr. Feakin, thank you for being with us. Are there any questions for the presenter? If not, is there anyone else here in the room that would like to testify on the bill? I would note that Mr. Rick Urien is from Commerce is available for questions. But anyone else in the room or anyone online to testify on the bill? Ms. Wolf, a response to Senator Stevens?
To Senator Stevens, I was looking at the wrong version of the bill. I need to be addressing the Finance CS, not the Labor Commerce CS.
Okay.
For that, I am sorry. Forgive me.
So does that mean that the sponsor statement does comport with that version of the bill that you've just noted?
I'm not entirely sure. I think the last sponsor statement that I wrote, I'm trying to remember if I changed it for you before I sent it over.
Okay.
I would have to look in my computer to confirm that, because I got a hunch that that addresses the Labor and Commerce CS.
Okay.
But you scheduled this without me requesting it, rather quickly, I did request it, and I don't know if I changed it or not.
Okay. And I would note this bill does go to the Judiciary Committee, but we should try and have a satisfactory response for Senator Stevens. On this point, Senator Stevens?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Having gone through the bill more carefully, I see that what was removed is pretty much every reference to moral turpitude, and so then it's a tougher stance to say any felony. And remove everything having to do with moral turpitude. And so the only change, is you need to hear your sponsor statement, because I think the sponsor statement just includes some of the old language.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid
so
you're right.
I'm comfortable with this.
Thank you. Senator Bundy?
That was the point I was going to
make. Okay. Thank you both. Okay, Ms. Wolf, thank you. Mr. Urien, why don't you, if you could come forward and just give us your expert opinion about the legislation. We always like to have that on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Rick Urien. I'm the director of the Division of Corporations Business Professional Licensing. We had the privilege of working with the real estate industry on this bill and the other body, and they've made a number of changes, and we've come up with a bill that we think is very good, and we'd encourage you to pass it.
Okay. So the requirements, the tuning up of this statute makes sense to you in these requirements and continuing education, and it seems workable?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This makes it much better for us and makes it better for them.
And the consumers.
And the public.
And the public, yeah. Anything for Mr. Urien? If not, thank you for being here and reviewing the bill. Any other comments on this legislation? Any committee discussion at this point? Is there a comfort level with this legislation moving forward?
Chair, I would move that we move CSR House Bill number 205 out of committee with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Yeah. There appears to be no opposition. So is there discussion of the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? If not, so ordered. The bill moves on. Thank you all for the help with that bill. Okay, next we come to House Bill 228, Workers' Compensation. Ms. Wolf, thank you very much. Workers' Compensation Medical Treatment Fees. Representative Kelly or a staffer, if you could please come forward. Just identify yourself and your office for the record, and please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Derek Miller, and I'm staff to Representative Mike Kelly, and I'm here to present House Bill 228. In 2005, the Alaska legislature passed SB 130, which was a major rework of the workers' compensation statutes. And as a part of that rework, medical payments were frozen at a 2004 fee schedule so that a review could be done for the underlying reasons regarding increases in premium increases. This review was to be jointly done by a special workers' compensation legislative task force in concert with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development Medical Review Committee. The task force was to develop recommendations to moderate program increases in the future. As part of the conditions of this medical rate freeze, the task force was to have completed their work by February of last year, of 2006, and the rate freeze would sunset in August of this year, 2007, so a couple months from now. The task force did not complete its report by February of last year, and we are facing the sunset of this freeze, as I said, in August of this year. And there is not yet a plan for the post-rate freeze sunset period, and that is why this legislation was introduced. Under the House Bill 228, the medical rate freeze would be extended for 2 years to allow time for recommendations to be developed, and it implements an annual rate increase based on the medical component of the consumer price index. And in closing, this is not meant to be a long-term fix by any means. It's simply a stopgap measure, and it's not a comprehensive overhaul of workers' compensation, but it'll allow us time to develop and implement some long-term comprehensive workers' compensation recommendations. And this bill is supported by the Alaska State Hospital and Nurses Home Association, the Alaska Physicians and Surgeons, the Alaska State Medical Association, the Alaska Municipal League Joint Insurance Agency, the State Chamber of Commerce, the Department of Labor, the Division of Insurance, and I'm not sure if I included in your packet, but recently in an April 27th Bradner's Alaska Legislative Digest on page 6, I'm not sure if I included this excerpt, but this bill is a must-have for the Palin administration and especially the Department of Labor, so it's pretty much supported by everybody that I've been in contact with, and it's more of a necessity than anything. The consequences of us sunsetting that medical rate fee schedule in August of this year is probably not good. So,
to say the least.
I'm available for questions, and I believe we have folks from various departments and possibly online to answer specific questions.
Mr. Miller, thank you for your presentation. Are there questions for the sponsor's representative? If not, if you could just stay with us, and we'll get through some of this testimony. I would note Jeff Bullock is available to answer questions. He's from the Hospital and Nursing Home Association. But Linda Hall is with us from the Division of Insurance. She has some written materials that committee staff has just passed out. Ms. Hall, if you could please come forward. Mr. Paul Lasanke from Workers' Comp is available to answer questions as well. But Ms. Hall, welcome. If you could please make some comments, and if you could include in your comments the consequences of us not passing this legislation might help.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Linda Hall, Director of Division of Insurance. I am here today in support of this piece of legislation, as the sponsor staff has indicated. I will try not to be repetitious of the comments that have already been made, but I have presented for you, I believe, bullet points of my testimony, all of which I won't go through, but some attachments, and there are a couple points I would particularly like to make. Today, with the freeze having been in place, I think you can see attachment number one, the portion of workers' compensation system cost nationally is 58% comprised of medical expenses. In Alaska, that percentage is now at 69% and rising. System cost mean what is paid out for treatment of injured workers, and indemnity is lost wages. Those are system cost. They are not the same thing as premium, but it is a component of premium. In the premium calculations that we do and that we ultimately approve through public rate hearings, we look at historical system costs, which is what we're dealing with here. We look at trending of those costs. If I charge you $10 for your workers' compensation today, one, you'd be very fortunate, but if I charge you $10 and we trended that for what it will cost for the next 10 years potentially to pay for the medical expenses for a single claim, we're likely to trend that up to $15 or $20. So that's part of the rate-making system. On top of that, we have what's called an expense factor, which is the portion that an insurance company puts on top of that for their expenses. I would urge you to look at exhibit number, I'm going to skip to exhibit number four. As of 2006, Oregon has done a study that show the workers' compensation rates in Alaska are the highest in the country. And I see an ability for those to climb even higher unless we get some better controls on medical expenses. And that's not to imply that people are necessarily charging too much. Medical costs in Alaska are higher than in the rest of the country also. We see that in the various systems that we have, whether it's the state employees' health insurance, whether it's what the state puts in for Medicaid, whether it's what I see private insurance companies, we have increases in medical care cost. And those same costs are reflected in workers' compensation. The last attachment in my presentation is a review and evaluation of this bill by the National Council on Compensation Insurance, which predicts in the second paragraph what would occur without this legislation, and just system costs overall, it projects between 4.5% and 5.8% increase in system cost. With this, it's a pretty minimal 1.3% cost. So we're talking a substantial potential increase in system costs, which are then also compounded by other parts of the rate-making process. So I would echo what the bill sponsor said, that I think it's critical for us to look at this additional freeze. I think that the indexing that's done is very appropriate, but I also do want to caution that because we freeze this at any particular rate really doesn't mean we will have a particular rate increase or decrease. We go through a very lengthy actuarial analysis to determine that.
Ms. Hall, thank you for your presentation. Questions? Senator Bundy?
You mentioned that the medical costs were 60-some percent in Alaska, and they were a lower percentage in other states. Is that just a factor of the cost of medical procedures in Alaska, or is there something in the system that causes that percentage to be higher in Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, I just recently reviewed a two-year study that the National Council on Compensation Insurance had done, and in that study, we're looking at an increase in certain areas of numbers of treatments as well as costs of treatments. But I think in general, the just cost of doing business in Alaska is more expensive than it is in some other states. I that since that's all this bill deals with, I won't go on and comment about the rest of the system.
Well, yeah, Mr. Chairman, you and I have gone around the workers' comp block with Linda a few times, but I recall seeing something recently where they compare, you know, the cost of living in Anchorage is no higher, probably less than it is Portland and Seattle, but yet the cost of medical treatment is so much higher. And some, a chart showed in a, what comes to mind is colonoscopy, and then it was $2,500 in Alaska and $1,400 in the lower 48, or so approximate numbers, and I just can't believe that, you know, cost of preparation for that operation should be that much higher in Alaska. So maybe we have more to discuss in the future.
I would not disagree with that.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. I share that concern. I mean, the statistics on various procedures are pretty, the comparative rates and from Alaska to other locales is pretty shocking. And we should get to the bottom of that. But Ms. Hall, I support the legislation. We need to keep this in place for another 2 years. But the automatic, sort of the inflation proofing built into this, you think we're making a reasonable judgment in that regard?
I think it's an objective way to make an increase. And I don't think it's appropriate or fair, I guess I would use, to continue to freeze the medical fee schedule at the December 2004 level. And I think to use an objective criteria is the most appropriate way to do that.
Well, if the base, in my opinion, if the base is fair and the mechanism is reasonable, I can support that. I've argued on other legislation, whether it be unemployment insurance or minimum wage, that if you have a good base and a reasonable mechanism, that keeping up with inflation is a good thing rather than the legislature revisiting those things constantly in the political battles that ensue. So just as I think this is a reasonable judgment that we'll make here in the context of this bill, it's been a battle with many other legislators for automatic inflation proofing or keeping up with inflation in other matters before the legislature. The legislators tend to jealously guard that ability to revisit over and over and over those contentious battles and make those tough decisions. So I think we're making the right call here. But I guess I'll continue to argue that accounting for the true costs and inflation impact in other areas is something that should be considered as well. So, Senator Bundy, and I don't mean to get into a huge battle, but go right ahead.
I wasn't going there.
Okay. We'll go there next time.
I will, other than note, this is a relatively short-term bill.
Yes, it is.
With Medicare, people are having all kinds of trouble finding doctors that will take them, because of the federally mandated level of reimbursement. Are there currently, or can you envision there will be problems with injured workers finding someone to treat them at these rates?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, we have not, in the Division of Insurance, had a complaint about access to medical care. We certainly get complaints about how claims are handled, and we deal with those. It's my understanding from testimony at prior hearings that no one has testified that they have had complaints about access to care. So I don't envision this having any impact on the ability of injured workers to receive appropriate medical care.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hall. Appreciate your advice and guidance on this bill. Mr. Mike Hugan has signed up to testify. Mr. Hugan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I'm here just to answer questions. My name is Mike Hogan. I'm the Executive Director of Alaska Physicians and Surgeons, and I'm just going to keep it very short and say we're in support of the extension of the caps for 2 years, and would like to thank Representative Kelly for introducing it. And I'll answer any questions you have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Any questions from the committee? If not, thank you for your testimony and time today. Is there anyone else in the room or online who would like to testify on this bill at this time? Anyone to come forward? If not, we will open this up to committee discussion. It's that time of year where we have to consider these things when we have the opportunity. Any discussion of the legislation?
In the mortal words of Fred Dyson, move it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't want to be accused of rushing anybody, so. But this is the time to take action if we choose to do so. Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill number 228 out of committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay. Any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? If not, so ordered. Mr. Miller, thank you for being with us. Ms. Hall as well. Okay, let's go on to Senate Bill 165, Tourism Disclosures and Notices. This is Senate companion legislation to House legislation that's coming over shortly. My goal would be to hear this bill and, if it's possible, to move it on to the Judiciary Committee and expect the House legislation to meet up with its companion there. So, Ms. Lindsey Holmes, Representative Holmes, the sponsor of the House legislation, is with us, and you're taking the place of Senator Elton's representative. So, Ms. Holmes, if you'd like to join us. But again, this is Senate Bill 165. The sponsor is Senator Kim Elton. Representative Holmes has done the lion's share of the work in bringing the various warring factions together over this legislation. I think you have a good work product, but I'll let the committee be the judge of that. So, Ms. Holmes, Representative Holmes, if you please go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lindsey Holmes. I am the representative from House District 26, and with the chairman and the committee's permission, I would like to ask my staff member, James Waldo, to join me to help present the bill.
Certainly. Pull up a chair.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm James Waldo, staff for Representative Holmes.
Good afternoon. Please go ahead.
SB 165, which is the companion for HB 217, so please excuse me if I mix up the names while I'm speaking, is a bill that addresses concerns of local Alaskan tour vendor businesses in the state. Basically, the businesses that get a lot of those tourism dollars to stay in state. What it does is it alters and improves the disclosure section that was passed in ballot measure 2, the recent cruise ship initiative in the last election. It adds several requirements for disclosure that for onboard sales. It also alters the commission rate disclosure, and it adds a section that applies that as well to advertisements for shoreside retailers. The changes that it adds for onboard tour sales are it requires a disclosure under every sale that the onboard sale is a wholesale resale relationship between the shoreside tour vendor and the cruise line, basically saying the cruise line is keeping a percentage of the money that you're paying for this tour. So that way the consumer is informed that some of the money is actually going to the cruise line. Next, they're also required to say that there are other alternatives available at future ports of call with different prices and different features, basically informing the passengers that the tours presented on board the ship are not the only options and that they can go and seek out options on their own. To that end, it also requires that the cruise ships provide the contact information for the visitors bureaus in each port of call so that the passengers can go ahead, contact those visitors bureaus, get the information for another tour, one that perhaps is not advertised on board the ship, compare prices, do whatever research they'd like to do, and come to a decision on their own if they'd like to book their tours independently, basically giving them the power to act. Finally, it alters the disclosure requirement that was set down in the initiative originally, just tweaks it a little bit. In the original initiative, what it said is that the cruise line was required to disclose the exact commission rate. So if the cruise ship was taking a 27.25 commission rate, they would have to disclose that in all written materials when they sold that tour. However, that threatened the local Alaskan businesses on the shoreside because it would expose their pricing structures. And their very real worry there is that this would lead to price undercutting. And this price undercutting would only affect the Alaskan businesses because they would be competing with each other for lower and lower prices while the cruise ships maintained that higher commission rate and their margins weren't harmed, but the Alaskan businesses were impacted. As a result, and after working with the initiative sponsors, what we came to as a good fix was requiring a disclosure when the commission reaches a certain threshold, over 20%. 20% is a good queuing mechanism because, for example, if I'm buying a plane ticket and I go to a travel agent and I ask, how much does this plane ticket cost? And they tell me, you're paying $100 for it and I'm taking a 20% commission, that might bring up a little yellow flag in my head and help me realize, maybe I can go look on my own first and see what other prices are competitive with this. So it basically just helps the consumer realize that they are paying a commission over a certain rate. Finally, what it does is it adds in a new section that was left out of the initiative, and that section applies these disclosure requirements to shoreside retailers as well. Right now on board the cruise ships, they advertise for shoreside retailers like Diamonds International and a few Alaskan businesses, but they charge extremely steep advertising rates, basically, that amount to a percentage of the sales made in these businesses. What this would do is it would allow passengers to see that a percentage of those retail sales are being recouped by the cruise ship and that this is effectively advertising, allowing them to realize that there are other stores and other alternatives for them to shop at, and not just creating this sort of deficit of information for tourists who come to Alaska and might be interested in shopping.
Okay, Mr. Waldo, can you just take a breath there for a second and we'll see, are there any questions so far? I know we're taking this piece by piece, but anything on the presentation so far? Senator Bundy.
I think I heard you say, and I just wanted to clear on the record, that you've spoken with the sponsors of the cruise ship initiative and they are in agreement with this legislation.
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, yes, that is absolutely correct. In fact, Joe Geldof is on the record in the House Judiciary Committee speaking in favor of HB 217, which is the companion for SB 165, and Gershon Cohen, one of the other sponsors of the initiative, actually has written a letter of support for the bill.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you probably received the emails I have that the public saying, we know what we're voting for, don't change it. And there are a number of things floating around here, including this one, that are nibbling away at the initiative. And I want it very clear that this is supported by the sponsors. I hope it's supported by a lot of those people that voted for it. No? Mm-hmm.
You may have achieved the what we thought was unachievable. So please go ahead.
And just to perhaps assuage those concerns a little bit, one of the more significant final pieces in this bill is it corrects an error that occurred in the initiative. When the initiative was passed, it cited violation of these requirements as an unfair trade practice, but at the same time said that the maximum fine for a violation was $100, which for a cruise line is just a slap on the wrist. Now, any other unfair trade practice has a penalty between $1,000 and $25,000, a significant deterrent. Whereas, as the initiative language and the current statutory language stands, it would be a mere $100. So what HB 217 and SB 165 do is they remove that requirement that the penalty be under $100, basically bringing it back to that $1,000 to $25,000 range, meaning that the cruise lines will certainly be required to comply with this, otherwise they will face serious penalties. And with that, if there are any questions about the bill.
Okay. So, Mr. Waldo, the version of the bill, Senate Bill 165, or what you just testified to is exactly what we have before us in 165.
Yes. Okay. SB 165, Mr. Chairman, should be identical to
represents HB everything you. Okay. Any other questions for the presenters? If not, I would note Cynthia Drinkwater is in Anchorage. She's with the Department of Law and available to answer any legal questions from the state's perspective. If not, let's go on with the public testimony. You guys can stay right there. We'll get through the public testimony. There are a number of folks here. We need to keep it as brief as possible, folks, and we'll begin with Don and Karen Hess, followed by John Dunlap.
Yes. My name is Don Hess from Haines, and my company name is Chilcat River Adventures. It's a jet boat tour. I am testifying today in support of Senate Bill 165. I am a longtime Alaska resident and my residency is older than our statehood. I have lived in Alaska for 50 years. During that time, my occupations have varied greatly. Now, please allow me to quickly take you through my working life, arriving at my present occupation as a tourism business owner. I'll tie all this together at the end of my brief testimony. When I first came to Alaska, my family was in the logging business in Sitka and then later in Haines. When logging began to decline, I then turned to trucking and hauled to Prudhoe Bay on the old ice road. Over the years, I've also been a heavy equipment operator, but that would always take me away from home. I didn't like having to work away from my family, and I didn't want to be away from the place that I love to live. I made a decision in 1973 to start a river tour in Haines, and although I put my heart and soul into it for 2 years and worked two other jobs during that time to survive, I quickly realized there weren't enough tourists to make my business successful. In 1975, I bought a bar and operated it until 83. Then life took another turn due to a divorce, and I sold the bar and worked in the private sector for a few more years. In 1991, my present wife and I started our tour company together. That company is the one that is being affected today by the current law of the disclosure statement from the initiative that was passed last October. This is a profitable business and one that allows me to stay at home with my family. As the Alaska Constitution states under inherent rights, this business allows me the enjoyment of the rewards of my own industry. Our company has a business relationship with the cruise ships that visit the Skagway and Haines ports as a shore excursion that is sold on board. My reason for telling you about my life and how I arrived at where I am today is because I am lucky enough to have had the foresight to see that the cruise ships were the answer to my river tour dream that I had way back in 73. Our business today is successful only because of the cruise ships. In 91, 92, and 93, we struggled to survive in our business because we couldn't afford to advertise to the volume of customers like the cruise ships had the ability to do. Therefore, our business goal was to develop a relationship with the cruise lines in order to increase volume and be profitable. Senate Bill 165 corrects the discriminatory language in the initiative that targets Alaskan businesses like ours that work with the cruise ships. I'm asking you to please move Senate Bill 165 out of your committee today so the legislative process can move swiftly and hopefully this can become law for our protection. Please keep in mind that this is a wholesale retail relationship and that over 50 Alaska businesses have testified in support of these changes, and not one business has testified in opposition. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. We appreciate your testimony and your contributions to the economy. I'd like to ask the other folks to please not love the bill to death. I personally think a good balance has been struck between the spirit of the initiative and the sponsors and some of the practical implications here, and not trying to hurt any business in particular and just be fair to the consumers. I think this bill may represent the right balance. I think so for myself, and we'll see if the committee does. But we have several people to get through here. Mr. John Dunlap and then Steve Heitz. Mr. Dunlap, please go ahead. And if things have already been testified to, if you could just agree with those rather than repeating. But please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chairman Ellis and Senate members of the Labor and Commerce Committee. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is John Dunlap, and I support my family through my work in the Alaska visitor industry. I'm employed as a manager for Allen Marine Tours based in Sitka, Alaska. And I do concur with the words of the gentleman that just spoke, and I would just like to add that I believe that the language in the current version of Senate Bill 165 meets the intent of the voters better than the disclosure language included in the original ballot initiative. And as noted already, this language is also supported by the sponsors of the initiative. I will keep it short, and I'd just like to say I hope you can move this process along quickly with the cruise lines already operating in Alaska waters. There's quite a bit of turmoil being caused by this unresolved issue, and we're hoping that you folks can get it straightened out for us as quickly as possible in a way that keeps good Alaska businesses from being harmed. And I'd just like to thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Dunlap. We appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you.
Steve Heitz, followed by, I can't tell what's next, but Steve Heitz, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Steve Heitz, 270 2nd Avenue, Box 400, Skagway. I want to testify in favor of SB 165, and I concur 100% with the two previous testimonies. My wife and I own the Skagway Streetcar Company for 21 years. The unintended consequences here would have serious effects upon our business and other small businesses in the state. Most importantly is that we have to understand tour operators, though, don't pay commissions to the cruise lines. There's no paid advertising to be in the marketplace. There's no paid promotion with what we have to pay cruise lines in our business. We don't pay them anything. Our retail cruise line customers pay us. We create, manufacture tour products, and we sell those at wholesale net price to the cruise ship, our retail store. We sell our products at a volume rate, too, because, you know, blocks of seats that we can produce for less than the cost of a single seat. Some of us sell retail as well at our windows, but those are at a retail price, not at the wholesale volume price. I mean, I'm just like a peach farmer. I sell truckloads of peaches to a wholesale grocery store. The grocer turns around and marks up the peaches and sells them to the consumers. There is no law that requires the grocer to disclose the amount of their markup. My point is that I know of no other retail business that has to disclose their retail markups. I mean, do you know of any? I am not opposed to disclosure, but the disclosure I want to see is the truth. And quite honestly, though I agree entirely with continuing with Senate Bill 165 and thank Lindsay Holmes for her wonderful work on HB 217, point number four in SB 165 is still wrong. It still includes an incorrect, arbitrary 20% figure. It still uses the incorrect word commission, and this is not true. Gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, disclosure is the truth. The truth is that there is a retail-wholesale relationship here, and having been so stated in a statute, there should be no more that needs to be said, because that, in and of itself, in business, states the truth of commerce. SB 217 and HB 217 and SB 165 may be a temporary fix, but they still do not state the truth. And truth and honesty in disclosure for the citizens of Alaska, for the consumer, is what the people voted for. Thank you so much for my opportunity, and I do hope you pass this along.
Thank you, Mr. Heitz. We appreciate you being with us today. Next, I have signed up Alan and Gracona. I don't know if that's a person or a business. I don't know. Does that ring a bell with anybody?
Who was it you were looking for?
Well, the sign-up sheet says Alan and Gracona, G-R-A-C-C-O-N-A. Is that anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Alan Lemaster in Gracona, Gracona,
okay,
Alaska. Well,
okay, go right ahead.
North of Valdez and Glen Allen. I concur 100% with what Steve Heitz just said. I believe this bill is the best fix we can have for what is a bad idea initially, and I would certainly encourage you and your committee to pass this along today and get it moving so that we can come to a resolution before the end of the year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else on the teleconference line who would like to testify briefly on the bill? Anyone here in the room? I should note that there's folks that have signed up to testify if needed. Jeremy Geiser of Gastineau Guiding, George Reifenstein of Mount Roberts Tramway, and Denny DeWitt from National Federation of Independent Businesses, if needed. But is there anyone here in the room or online who would like to make brief testimony? If not, I too join in thanking Senator Elton and Representative Holmes for their good work on this bill. Ma'am, did I see you raise your hand?
I just want to make a very brief comment.
Okay, then you'll have to come up to the microphone. These folks will shift over. If you could give us your name and affiliation for the record and go right ahead. Welcome.
My name is Kelly Dindinger, and I represent Alaska Travel Adventures, Akatasha, and Alaska Cruises, Inc. I'm just very nervous and scared, to be honest, about the possibility of this not moving forward and not moving forward quickly. And I'm up against a situation right now where this is our livelihood. I mean, we don't start making money until July. We're out of money now. I mean, we need to start, you know, making our sales. And I just got an announcement, you know, that the cruise lines are saying, I'm not saying all cruise lines, but from a specific cruise line that said, we're not selling anything in Alaska. If you don't buy it before you hit Alaska waters, you're not going to get to buy it. And that scares me because we need our tours to be sold. It really scares me. So I please urge you to move this forward today.
If I had to predict, I think that's what we're going to do. But could you just clarify, you said the certain cruise lines are saying what to their passengers?
Well, because I think they don't know what they can do, mm-hmm. and they don't know what the law is requiring them to do. Mm-hmm. They're saying, well, in order to avoid any, you know, in order for us to make sure we don't break the law, we're just not going to sell in Alaska. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want that to be, you know, ongoing any longer than it needs to.
Okay.
It's already starting, so.
No, we appreciate your testimony. Just for the record, the bill today, we don't even have Ms. Holmes' bill before us today. We scheduled Senator Elton's companion bill that he introduced to speed up the legislative process and help her bill pass as quickly as possible, because people have come together, worked in good faith to try and correct some of the deficiencies, live within the spirit of the initiative and what the public voted on or thinks they voted on. So we're all working together to try and make this happen, and I'm confident that this is going to happen this year. I don't think I'll have egg on my face when we're all said and done, but. So this committee is taking action to immediately hear the bill, to expedite the process, and if I predict correctly, I think that's what's going to happen here in just a moment. Thank you, Ms. Dindinger, for your testimony. Is there anyone further on this legislation? Okay, I will open us up to discussion. The bill does go on to the Judiciary Committee, the Senate bill, and then the plan would be, I would hope, that the Senate President would refer Ms. Holmes' bill directly to the Judiciary Committee, because I think our work, the public testimony and our work here is done. So committee discussion on Senate Bill 165.
We just move it.
Okay, Senator Bundy, did you have a question?
Well, just a comment.
Sorry. Please go ahead.
Obviously, if this had gone through the committee process, it'd be done over with, and we wouldn't be having to do fix up and catch up with an initiative. And all those people that are nervous about the errors in its initiative, next time they're asked to sign one, they might want to think about how complete that process is. The people are always right, or the people are always the boss. They're just not always right when they go to write initiatives. And the sponsors, I think, have done a disservice to many Alaska businesses by not being more thorough in writing this initiative.
Well, it's been a learning process on all sides, I'm sure. Any further discussion of the legislation?
Chairman,
Senator Stevens?
I move that we move out Senate Bill 165 with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay. Again, with thanks to Senator Elton and Representative Holmes and their staffs and everyone involved, folks who've testified today. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered, the bill moves on to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Okay, is there any further business to come before the committee today? If not, thank you very much. We are adjourned.